Please open your Bibles with me as we will turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we'll read the first 16 verses of Mark, chapter 16. Let us hear God's holy and inspired word. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive, and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So far, the reading of God's holy word. Our text is to be found in this chapter, and then particularly verse 2. Mark chapter 16 and verse 2. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, sometimes a picture is worth more than a thousand words. Consider the picture of the rising sun. As I drove down here and I turned on Highway 52 off of the other highway, all of a sudden there was the sun coming through, piercing through the sky. And I said, "I thank thee, Lord, for the shining of the sun." I saw a painting one time which carried the title, "En route to the future." En route to the future. In the foreground, a young couple walking hand in hand along a narrow path that led towards the horizon. Beyond the horizon was the radiant features of the rising sun. Simple but striking. This young couple, you see, was en route to a new and to a bright and to a hopeful future. Well, no. On this Easter morning, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ could also be portrayed in a similar way. Hand in hand with her Savior along the narrow path towards the future. And on the horizon, the rising of the sun. Now our text makes it very clear it does speak of the rising of the sun. And it declares to us the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely, I would dare say then, this is a picture that is worth more than 1,000 words. Let us therefore on this Easter morning hear the following gospel message. Christ's resurrection declared at the rising of the sun. In the first place, so chosen by God. Secondly, so significant for Christ. And then thirdly, so telling for us. The congregation, Easter is heralded by the rising of the sun in the scriptures. And there is some rhyme and reason for this as well, isn't there? And let me just explain this. God has chosen his hours and his seasons to declare his salvation events. And what I mean by salvation events are those highlights of salvation that are marked by special days, such as Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, and Pentecost. One salvation event is accompanied by darkness. Another salvation event is portrayed and accompanied by light. For instance, when God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the darkness of our sin, this did not happen during the day, but it happened at night. After all, boys and girls, you know that the Lord Jesus was born in the darkness of night in one of the stalls in Bethlehem. When the Lord Jesus began to wrestle in the Garden of Gethsemane, again, it was nighttime. It was darkness. On Good Friday, no doubt you heard about that, when the hour arrived that the Lord Jesus would suffer the hellish agonies in the place of his people, even though it was still in the middle of the day, God made it like night time and it became pitch dark in the middle of the day, and that for no less than 3 hours. The battle against sin, you see, it was fought in the darkness, because after all, sin is darkness and sinners are darkness. In fact, sinners are called darkness, as you can read, for instance, in John chapter 1 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus, therefore, was born in darkness. He carried the wrath against sin in darkness. He died for sin in darkness. Darkness and night are the times, therefore, when sin and God's wrath on sin get the hour. Think also yet of Judas Iscariot, how he went out to betray the Lord Jesus. Remember, boys and girls? The Bible tells us specifically, and it was night, John 13, verse 30. Night time, you see. The Lord Jesus once said to his enemies, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Luke chapter 22, verse 53. But now our Easter text. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre, at the rising of the sun. Our text speaks of sunrise. On Easter morning, some women headed to the gravesite of the Lord Jesus, but they did so in the light of the rising sun. And why does the Gospel of Mark tell us this? Why? Does the Bible tell us this so that we have a rough idea as what time this happened when the Lord Jesus rose from the grave? Is that the only reason? Well, it tells us that already earlier on, very early in the morning, so we are told, verse 2a. But in addition, and I add, in addition, it says, as if to underline it for each one of us, it was at the rising of the sun. And therefore, at that particular time, the women went to the gravesite. In the meanwhile, Christ has risen, and all of this was revealed then, especially around sunrise. The Bible finds it therefore important enough to tell us, and not just once, but several times, in fact. In Matthew, for instance, it says, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week. In the Gospel of Luke, we are told, very early in the morning. At the rising of the sun, it all unfolded according to God's wise plan. Only John has Mary Magdalene going to the sepulchre, as we are told, when it was yet dark. But she doesn't get the message of Jesus' resurrection until later on at the rising of the sun. John 20, verse 1. When the news of Christ's resurrection therefore came, it was not evening, neither was it night, but it was morning. It was sun rising morning. It was a special time period, you see, chosen by God himself. As you know, Christmas began at nighttime. Good Friday was shrouded in darkness. But Easter, so we are told about the rising of the sun. In other words, God lets nature even declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Also in that respect, the rising of the sun speaks of the rising of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear people, this makes Easter such an encouraging and such an uplifting event, even an event that we may celebrate. And surely, God has meant it that way, hasn't he? Why sunrise at Easter? Well, it tells us that God has opened a new chapter in the history of salvation. He has opened a chapter in salvation history that should bring hope, that should bring comfort, that should bring gladness, that should bring joy to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sunrise at Easter shows that the Lord has something new to tell you and me about his dealings with you and with me, which should give every one of us hope for the future. God's message of Easter is not a message of descending darkness, but of the rising sunlight. On Christmas, we may have sung Silent Night, Holy Night, but on Easter we may sing, Oh, send the day of joy and light, as we have been able to sing it from Psalter number 246. Easter is cast in the light of sunrise, and dear people, this is how God wanted it. That's how we wanted it. It was important for God to coincide Easter and the rising of his Son, Jesus Christ, with the rising of the sun above the horizon. But now secondly, under the heading, so significant for Christ, we need to ask, what did this mean for Christ? Or what message did this convey to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, it told us that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the night hours and that the time of darkness was past for him. It told him that a new day, that a new period has dawned for him. It also told him that the end has come for his descent into darkness. And you remember that his descent into darkness began for him already in the womb of the Virgin Mary. This descent into darkness concluded for him in the sepulcher of Joseph of Arimathea. The sunrise at Easter conveyed the message to the Lord Jesus Christ that the darkness was over. The darkness of humility, the darkness of shame, the darkness of sin-bearing, the darkness of the wrath of God, even the darkness of God-forsakenness, all that darkness has vanished. The night is past, and the sun has dawned. And for the Lord Jesus Christ to see the sun rise must have been like a sign from heaven itself, so to speak, saying that the battle against darkness was finished and that the victory was won at the rising of the sun. Remember Jacob at Penuel? He once experienced something quite similar. He had wrestled all night with an obscure heavenly figure and wrestled till he had won the victory of blessings. And then we read in Genesis chapter 32, verse 31, just as he, that is Jacob, passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. And this meant something for Jacob, you see. It meant that God was pleased with Jacob's victory and that God approved of Jacob's victory. It also meant for Jacob that from there on, the blessings of God would continue to shine upon him and that in abundant splendor. And the sun rose upon him. So we read. Well, more so for the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior. The rising of the sun was like a message from heaven itself that the Father was well pleased with the victory that he, his Son, has won on the cross of Golgotha. The smiles of the Father's approval, you see, they were there in the rising splendor of the sun. In the beams of the rising sun, the Lord Jesus Christ could sense the warmth of his Father's good pleasure again. He could sense that the Father's presence has returned to him again at the rising of the sun. Now remember how it went on Good Friday, especially during the hours from 12 noon to about 3 in the afternoon. Then the light of the sun disappeared. We know that, don't we? Which meant that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced a definite God-forsakenness, that he experienced the absence of his Father's love and of his Father's good pleasure and of his Father's presence. And the experience sent forth one of the most bitter and lamentable cries ever heard on the face of the earth from the lips of Jesus Christ. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His cry, you see, his cry expressed what he was experiencing at that time of God forsakenness, being abandoned by God, his Father. All of that was visually displayed by the picture of what? Darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what darkness meant for him. But now the very opposite of Good Friday and its darkness, now it is Easter sunrise, and that sunrise meant something to the Lord Jesus Christ. At that point, the great prayer request began to be fulfilled, the prayer request that he once made, as can be read in John 17, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. The darkness of Calvary has meant abandonment from the Father for the Son of God. But the sunrise of Easter meant nothing else to him but union and communion with the Father again. In the beams of the rising sun at Easter morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, saw his Father's arms welcoming and embracing him again. The darkness has lifted. Christ the Son is with his Father again, and the Father with his Son. Now there's another aspect yet to the Easter morning sunrise that must have meant something for the Lord Jesus Christ. The darkness has meant that sin and the devil had still the upper hand during darkness. The darkness was the devil's domain, and there sin thrived, and wickedness and evil did their deadly destructive work, which always does that. For the Lord Jesus Christ, darkness was the battlefield where he waged war on sin and waged war on the devil himself. For him, that is, for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was true to the extreme of what the Apostle Paul wrote later on in Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But now, on Easter morning, the darkness has lifted, and the sun has risen for the Lord Jesus Christ. This meant, dear people, this meant for him that the battle was over, that the victory is won. The devil and sin and death, they do not have its free play anymore. The devil has done its worst with the Lord Jesus Christ. But now it's all done. It's finished. The Son of God has dealt the devil a mortal blow. And as a short verse of an old saint spells it out so beautifully, the strife is o'er, the battle done, the victory of life is won, the song of triumph has begun, the powers of darkness have done their worst, but Christ their legions has dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. The sun has risen upon the battlefield on Easter morning, and surely the sight of it must have been great and encouraging and joyful for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, in the third place, under the heading, So Telling for Us, or to Us, we must ask this question. What does the rising of the sun at Easter mean for us, for you, and for me? Dear people, God has something to tell us with those words that we read in our text at the rising of the sun. Those words, as you have heard already, speak of amazing things. And it was that way for those women already. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. They had come to the sepulchre very early in the morning to anoint, that is, to embalm the body of the Lord Jesus. And they had bought a quantity of sweet spices, embalming creams, so to speak. And with those sweet spices and embalming creams, they were prepared then to show their last respect to the Lord Jesus. And they came, so we are told, unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. But then, to their amazement, they found the stone, the large stone, rolled away from the opening of the sepulchre. And they saw an angel sitting inside this sepulchre who gave them the surprising news, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here." Again, at the rising of the sun, they had come to the sepulchre in order to embalm a dead body. And they meet up with the greatest news of their life, the news that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Well now, the sunrise of Easter morning should also be telling for us, you and me. It tells us, dear people, that great things, amazing things have happened through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so may I ask you, by way of application, what are you expecting of your practice of the Christian religion? What are you expecting of your church attendance? What are you expecting of your listening to sermons from Lord's Day to Lord's Day? What are you expecting of your regular daily reading of the Scripture, which I trust you all do? What are you expecting of the meditations and the prayers and the devotions that you engage in? Perhaps you say, just thinking back, well, I'm not expecting too much of it as yet. I don't really expect any changes. It has been the same, the regular thing already with me for many, many years. Why should things change now? Well, now think of it. Easter is announcing and is announced by the rising of the sun. That means that we are to look up to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And that by looking up to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we may expect great things. And we must be prepared for great things. We need to pray for those great things to happen. Those women, well, they went to a closed-off sepulchre. And they were amazed to see the stone rolled away. They went to embalm the body of a deceased Jesus, and they marveled at the news that he was alive and he was risen. Easter sunrise, dear people, foretells marvelous things. Perhaps this time your church going will be rewarded. Perhaps the time of preaching will hit home. Perhaps shortly the Word of God will begin to open up for you as it never did before. The stone, as it were, will be rolled away, and you will hear the good news of the gospel. He is risen. He is not here in this sepulchre. May I advise you, may I counsel you, prayerfully expect changes, good changes. Perhaps you have not yet understood that God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, is proclaiming a change from darkness to light. Well then, listen, and listen carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated the powers of darkness, and has come through that battle victoriously. And therefore you can and you may expect blessed changes. But you need to pray for them. For changes in your life. For changes in the lives of those of your family members. For changes in the life of the congregation where you worship. The sun rose at Easter. And therefore, that tells us something. Because with it, God wants to tell you and me that He may yet do marvelous things when you look up to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those women, they met up with some very wonderful things under the beams of the rising sun. And why shouldn't we? Isn't this the word of the Savior Himself when He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved"? He's calling, you see, to look unto Him. But then, there are more telling things yet about the rising of the sun at Easter for us, you and me. It tells us also that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that with salvation at His full disposal. It tells us that the powers of darkness are broken and that they do not have that free play anymore for those who meet up in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those women, they had gone to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Not only did they meet up with a few surprises, not only did they meet up with some wonderful news, but soon afterwards also they met up with the risen Lord Himself. The Lord Jesus Himself met them and He greeted them. The events of Easter, you see, morning, not only brought them the wonderful news, but they also brought them great blessings of seeing Jesus alive. Well now, this is what the rising of the sun may also mean for you and for me, whether we be old or young. The Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, has many blessings at His disposal. Also this morning, He has been presented to you as the Savior of sinners. He is presented to you as one who is willing and able to set you free from your personal darkness of sin. The powers of darkness, you see, they do not have that free play anymore as they had in the past. They cannot do with you as they did in the past. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has the upper hand, you see. You now have an answer to your sin. And if you are at all troubled, and I trust that that is the case, if you are at all troubled, if you are at all distressed about the powers of darkness, and if you feel at times still harassed by sin and attacked by the evil one, the devil, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with your troubles. Turn to Him with your sins. He knows what to do with the devil and with his attacks of the evil one. He has proved it, hasn't He, at Calvary? The Lord Jesus Christ is risen. And when He did, the sun rose as well. And since that time, it has meant that full and free salvation can be had with the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, whenever you see the sun rise from now on, remember the Easter message. Christ is risen. The message of sunrise at Easter is meant also as a message of hope and encouragement for each one of us. Do not hold back. Do not turn away from this message. Do not hesitate, but go and find your life, find your light, your future with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps at this moment your heart is still burdened with sin. Perhaps your conscience is busy accusing you for the wrong that you have done and can bring tears to your eyes. Perhaps you have been busy procrastinating and postponing this matter far too long already. Dear people, the Easter message should encourage you that a change is possible. The Easter message is meant to be a message of good hope. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen, and the sun is shining, and the word of God says to you also this day, but unto you who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall. Malachi 4 verse 2. This prophecy of the Old Testament has been fulfilled, you see. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, has risen. He has risen. Therefore, turn to him with all of your spiritual burdens, with all of your spiritual cares. Show him your broken heart, as David could do one time. Show him your broken heart. Expose to him your grieving spirit. Let your sorrow because of sin be heard in his ears and repent of it. Then believe also in his great salvation, that is, the forgiveness of sins, the renewing of life, hope, future, eternal life. Easter and sunrise have one thing in common. Both declare the gospel message that the darkness is over and that light has come. And whoever believes this word and entrusts themselves to this Savior who is risen, which this word has proclaimed, will experience his blessings. Then you too will find yourself in that picture with the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is seen walking hand in hand with his beloved on that narrow path that leads to heaven's horizon at the rising of the sun. Isn't this a picture worth more than 1,000 words? It's a picture, dear people, of new love, of tender devotion, and of warm affections. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you who have, by his Spirit, have learned to entrust yourself to him, you may be assured you are never alone. Wherever you are, and whatever condition you may find yourself in, Jesus Christ, your risen Savior, is there to hold your hand. Your future is secure. Your Savior is busy leading you towards that future. You are, as it were, in the picture with him. And what a picture it is. It is a picture that will never fade, but will show more wonderful details as the sun reaches its zenith, when time will turn into eternity. When you will find yourself on the new earth, where there will never be darkness, will there never be any night anymore, where the light of the sun will not be required anymore, for God himself will be the light and give you the light that you would want. And his light, dear people, is brighter than the sun. And by it you will see the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. Learn to long for that time, dear brothers and sisters, and pray as the saints pray at the end of the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus, come. This Easter morning, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be portrayed as hand in hand with her Savior, along a narrow path towards the future. And on the horizon, the sight of the rising sun. May the Holy Spirit develop this picture for you and for me as well, both young and old. Amen. Let us close in prayer of thanksgiving. O Lord our God, Thou hast been gracious and merciful to us to have Thy Word under scrutiny this morning hour. And as we could consider the horrible things regarding darkness, but the most beautiful things regarding sunlight and the rising of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou art pleased to have Thy name proclaimed to the people, and that in the proclamation of Thy glorious name, hope and salvation and the joy of eternity can be declared when there is that repentance of sin and faith in Thee. We do pray that such repentance and such faith may be found in each one of us, young and old, that Thou would have much reason to rejoice, and that the angels in heaven, in Thy presence, will rejoice even when one sinner repents. We do thank Thee that through the word proclaimed, which as the world sees it is foolishness, that Thou wilt use this foolishness to make Thy name great. Bless each one of us, we do pray, that we may reflect upon the things we have heard, that we may be able to communicate to one another the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is risen again, and that He is alive. And that we too may be able to say to one another, come, let me tell you what the Lord has done to my soul. Help us, O Lord God, help us to communicate that message to our children, to our grandchildren, and to our loved ones as well. Bless us, we pray, as we leave the sanctuary, as we fellowship with one another. Bless the children as they are taught in various classes, and the teachers who are most willing and ready to teach, and bring us home safely, and bring us back again later on this day, as we may once more worship Thee, and may we be able to do so in the beauty of holiness, in Jesus' name. Amen.